Can you please stand up? I want you to read a passage of Scripture. You got your Bibles with you? While you are standing up, let me give you a short exam, okay? I will present to you an animal, and you tell me which country this animal represents while you are standing, all right? What country does this animal represent? England, Singapore. What about this animal? Wow, smart. What about this animal? USA. What about this animal? Are you sure? Yes. What about this animal? No country. Christians. You know why? Christians, sheep, are weak, defenseless, easily go astray, not smart, no sense of direction. The biggest sheep has no match against the smallest wolf. And that's why I believe God wants us to understand something about the shepherd and the sheep. If you don't mind, let's read the following scripture, everybody. Psalm 23. Turn to your Bible, Psalm 23. Let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father God in heaven, what a joy it is to come to know you even more. Speak to all of us as we study your word. I want to thank you for this country. We want to pray for our president, that you continue to guide him, protect him, especially in his drive against graft and corruption. Expose the dishonest officials. Be the one to get rid of them. And I pray for the judiciary, the Congress, the Senate, the military, that your hand will be upon them. Only you can change the hearts of government officials. And the Bible, and you have told us, the hands, the hearts of the leaders are in your hands. You can let them do what you want them to do. So will you intervene supernaturally for this country? We need you. We need you to revitalize the Philippines, not just economically, not just socially, but above all, spiritually. Forgive our idolatry. Forgive the immoralities of this country. We ask for mercy. And I thank you for the building project. I thank you that the worship training center is being developed. Thank you for the provisions. Thank you for the architect. Thank you for the retreat center, the prayer mountain. Again, I pray for the leadership who is in charge of these projects, that you will continue to guide them, and may your name be glorified and honored as a result of these projects. We now commit to you the rest of the evening service. I pray for our guests, first-timers, that they will be comforted, they'll be inspired, they'll come to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. Please sit down. We have been going through a series on intimacy with God. In particular, practicing the presence of the Lord. Now, I want to share with you, practicing the presence of God, knowing His presence, and experiencing His presence are two different matters. So, I want to continue the series on intimacy with God, especially practicing His presence, so that it becomes real in your life, not just theoretical, but experiential. In Psalm 23, you will be amazed that the different names of God is embedded in Psalm 23. I want to share with you the importance of Psalm 23. Now, everybody, you look at me. What is the first sentence of Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. Let me share with you the different names of God encoded in Psalm 23. For example, I shall not want. You have the famous name of God, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. He leadeth me beside still waters. You have Jehovah Shalom. That the Lord is our peace. He restoreth my soul. You have the word Jehovah Rapha. By the way, that's the literal rendition of the personal name of God. Most of you may not fully appreciate the significance of the word Yahweh or Jehovah. That is the very name of God in the Bible. For example, some of you are embarrassed to call me Peter. You will probably call me Pastor Peter, or you will call me Tito Peter. But for the younger ones, you may be embarrassed to just say Peter. Why? That's my personal name. The same thing with God, Yahweh. They don't pronounce His name. They don't call His name. The rabbi, when they read the scriptures and the word Yahweh appears, they simply just keep silent. They use the word Adonai, meaning Lord, because that name is so precious. But I praise God. We can read this together. Look at the next one. He leads me in the path of righteousness. That's Jehovah Tsigenu, the Lord our righteousness. I fear no evil, you are with me. That's Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. In the presence of my enemies, Jehovah Nissi. Remember the song? The Lord is our banner. Anoint my head with oil, Jehovah Emkadesh. The Lord who sanctifies. Now, what's even more amazing, the Psalm 23 is a prophetic psalm. It is embedded between Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. Psalm 22, if you read it tonight, it talks about the suffering Messiah. It's unbelievable. David never experienced crucifixion on the cross. But in Psalm 22, you see the description of the Messiah suffering on the cross. And then when you jump to Psalm 24, you see the Messiah coming, the coming King, the second return of the Messiah. In Psalm 23, it is the present ministry of the Lord. So in the New Testament, look at the fulfillment. The Lord, everybody read this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How was Jesus called? Let me share with you. John 10:11, Jesus is called, everybody, the good shepherd. In Hebrews 13, He is called the great shepherd. Why the great shepherd? Hebrews 13 tells us our shepherd died and rose again, and He shed His blood for us. Then in 1 Peter, He is called the chief shepherd. Chief shepherd means we are the under-shepherd. We report to the chief shepherd. What do I mean? May I ask all fathers to stand up tonight? All fathers, stand up. I have a message for you. All fathers. Wonderful. Are you telling me the night service, we have a lot of singles? Okay, what about mothers? May I ask mothers to stand up also? Akala ninyo tatay lang. No, remain standing, fathers. I have not asked you to sit down. Fathers, in a sense, mothers, look at me now, all of you. You are to shepherd your family. If you want to know the role of a shepherd, understand Psalm 23. A shepherd provides. A shepherd guides. A shepherd protects. You will study that in Psalm 23 because that is God's responsibilities toward His people. And tonight I'm going to share with you so that you will learn more about our shepherd. The Bible tells us Jesus is our chief shepherd. And what are we? We are the assistant shepherd. My desire was when my children were growing up, I was the assistant shepherd of the Lord, and I wanted them to connect to the chief shepherd. And I'm happy to tell you, at this point in their lives, my children are connected to the chief shepherd. They have known the Lord as their shepherd. They are no longer dependent upon the assistant shepherd. The same thing in this fellowship. My role as the assistant shepherd is to connect all of you to the chief shepherd. Thank you for standing up. Sit down. I hope you will learn more about your responsibilities as we analyze what it means to shepherd. God is our shepherd. Look at the meaning of the word good shepherd. Okay, let's read this. Example only. In John 10:11, the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, everybody read, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees. Why? Because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. You know, I tell our pastors, you are not hirelings. We are not paid to do a job. You are to love the people. We are the under-shepherd. I'm telling all D-group leaders, all D-12 leaders, you are the under-shepherd. You have to shepherd the people God has placed under you. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. What is the most important phrase? Let's begin again. I'm going to explain to you now, verse by verse. Let's read this together. Psalm 23, verse 1. Everybody, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's a big difference knowing Psalm 23 and knowing the Lord as our shepherd. You know, in a small town in the United States, they have a habit of meeting every Sunday night in a small church that sits around 100 people, and people will perform. So somebody will play the piano, and they will clap. A young girl stood up, she played the violin, they got excited, and then a couple, husband and wife, they stood up, they sang duet, everybody clapped, and then there was Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones came from Broadway. So when he was there, they asked him to perform. So what he did, he recited Psalm 23 with all of the Broadway theater action. The Lord is my shepherd. Those kind of voice. By the time he was finished, they gave him a loud standing ovation. It's like being in a theater. And then the next person did his performance. But before they ended, somebody asked Mr. Smith. Now, Mr. Smith was an old man. He said, Smithy, come on, do a number. Mr. Smith said, you know, I don't really do numbers. No, do something. Mr. Smith said, well, I know Psalm 23. I memorized that since I was a kid, but Mr. Jones already performed it. They said, no, we want your version. So Mr. Smith decided to perform his Psalm 23. It goes something like this. Now, as I've said, I have not memorized the way he did it, but something like this. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything. Then he paused for a while. Then he said, you know, a few years ago, 5 years ago, my wife died. It was very difficult for me. I was lonely. I don't know what to do. I felt like giving up. But then I remembered, the Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack anything. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Then he continued. He said, you remember a few years ago, there was a drought. And my children had to quit school. And they had to come and help in the farm. And I didn't know how to survive this, but I praise God they helped me. And I remembered, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He continued unveiling his life. At the last part, he said, surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. When he ended, the place was silent. Many people were crying. There were tears in their eyes. And then Mr. Jones stood up. Mr. Jones said, I knew Psalm 23, but Mr. Smith, he knows the shepherd of Psalm 23. Many of you know about Psalm 23, but do you know the shepherd of Psalm 23? It is very sad when many people use Psalm 23 only for a funeral service. Psalm 23 is not just for the funeral service. It is to be used for everyday living. Let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd. Notice the next word, is. Not was, not will be, is. In the original language, the idea is this. The Lord is shepherding me now. Now, some of us, maybe before you came to know the Lord, you can honestly say, well, ecstasy, marijuana is my shepherd. I shall not want. Marijuana makes me lie down in green pastures. It steals my soul. Okay? I don't know, but for some of you, maybe it's a boyfriend. My boyfriend is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't know who is your shepherd. But this psalm is saying, the Lord is what? My shepherd. I shall not want. What does it mean, I shall not want? What is the meaning of the word want? Literally, it means I will lack nothing. Everything I need will be provided. So that's the meaning. The Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. Say that with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. Let me share with you how that word is used in the Bible. In Psalm 34, verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be, what? In want of any good thing. You will not lack any good thing. Amazing explanation of how God takes care of us. If you seek the Lord, a shepherd walks and the sheep follows. Understand? That's the idea here. Notice the next verse, another verse. Psalm 84, verse 11. Everybody read this. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now, notice, no good thing. Now, I submit to you, the most important thing about anybody in here tonight is what W.H. Tozer said. What do you think of when you think of God? Let me repeat. What enters your mind? What do you think of? What enters your mind when you think of God? That is the most important thing about you. Let me explain. There was a pastor, he was preaching. And there was a lady who enjoyed the message. Before the message was about to be finished, the pastor talked about, well, God is our Heavenly Father. The girl snapped. She couldn't hear the message anymore. And after the end of the message, she went to see the pastor. Pastor, it is not your fault. But when you said, God is our Heavenly Father, I reacted immediately. And the pastor said, what do you mean? He said, I grew up with a father who abused me. A father who was mean, sexually abusive, bad temper. Therefore, when you say father and you connect that to God, I have a problem. And I realize many of us have certain narratives, you have certain ideas about who God is based on your past experiences. And many of them are not biblical. Some of you come from a church, from a religion that gives you a wrong picture of who God is. You know, there are some Christians, they are very legalistic because they came from a church where the focus is all external and they become judgmental. So they come to CCF, they judge others. You know, we have a lot of guests, we have a lot of first-timers. And then when they see a celebrity and they'll say, how in the world is that? Why should that person be here? He should not be here. You see, you are judgmental. You don't understand the heart of God. My point is this. What enters your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. You tell me what you think about God, and I will predict your future spiritually. And most of us don't know the Lord. And that's why some of us are reluctant to commit your life to Jesus. Some of us are not excited serving Him. You come here out of obligation. You come here because people expect you to come. But you don't come here because it is a delight for you to worship God because you love Him and you know He loves you and He accepts you as you are. Why? There is something wrong with your image of who God is. And it takes a lot of time to change your image of who God is. And that is why I want you to learn to study the Bible. Psalm 23 tells us who our Lord is. He is what? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. A Christian who is always complaining, as one author said, is a Christian who does not know the shepherd. If you are always grumbling, always complaining, and always what? Worried, always anxious, is it possible that the Lord is not your shepherd? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Notice, sheep, to appreciate this, you have to know shepherding and the nature of the sheep. Do you know that sheep will not sit down? They will not lie down if they're hungry. They will not lie down when they're anxious. They will not lie down when they are fearful. Sheep will lie down only when they're satisfied. And the shepherd will make sure that they lie down. Read this. He makes me what? Lie down. Notice the verb there. He makes me. He knows when it's time to rest. He makes me lie down in green pasture. Have you heard of that expression? The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. You see, your green pasture may not be exactly what God is thinking. When God brings you to your green pasture, sometimes you think it is not the best. You know, I know this with my wife. When we go to a restaurant and we order food, she orders her food, I order my food. Guess what will happen? She looks at my food and she starts trying to eat my food, and I look at her food. I think I like to touch her food, eat her food. Why? We always think maybe the other one is better. Well, there was this family where the husband was laid off from work. And when he was laid off from work, he stopped going to church. And the wife asked him, "Why do you stop going to church?" He was not happy with God. He was laid off from work. In Tagalog, they don't have this English word. Anong ginagawa niya sa Panginoon? What's he doing with God? He was making tampo. Okay? When you're not happy with God, because something happens to you, what do? You kind of withdraw. So you stop going to worship service. You stop attending Bible study. You stop having quiet time. You're not happy. And then the wife said, "Are you telling me just because you lost your job, you will no longer worship God?" You know, the guy got convicted. He went back to worship. He kept going. And the Lord began to speak to him. His passion was carpentry. And since he did not have a job, he decided the best thing I can do is do carpentry work. So he would do repairs, minor repairs. And then he enjoyed it so much, he began to build houses for people. He enjoyed it so much, he began to build bigger projects, you know, motels. Pretty soon, he decided, why should I keep building motels? Why don't I put up my own motels? Believe it or not, he became an owner of a chain of motels. And he told his wife one day, "I want to go back to my company. I want to see the supervisor who fired me." The wife got nervous. The wife said, "Why do you want to see the supervisor who fired you?" "I want to see him and I want to thank him for firing me." Friends, your green pasture sometimes may not be what you think. God knows when to slow you down and say, "You know what? This is the best for you." Your green pasture is where you are right now, if the Lord is your shepherd. Can you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, "Where you are right now, that's your green pasture." Notice, he leads me beside quiet waters. You know, sheep will not drink water when the water is flowing very fast. They are afraid that the water will get into their wool and they will drown. So, for them to drink water, the shepherd will have to make a small dam to steal the water. So, if you study Hebrew language, the literal rendering of that phrase, let's read that one more time, "He leads me beside," literally, "beside" what? "Quiet No, not literally still water. He makes the water still so that it does not keep moving. So the shepherd will make sure that the sheep will drink. Notice, it is what you call meticulous care and love for the sheep. You know, one of my friends was telling me his story. He was a supplier of a multinational company. He owns a factory and he provides tube for this multinational company, metal tube for toothpaste, packaging. Well, one day the multinational company told him, "We won't order from you anymore." Now, if you're the businessman and suddenly there's no demand for your products, what do? If you're a businessman, the first thing you do, you shut down your factory. 1 year is one thing. The factory was shut down for not just 2 years, 3 years. But this man knew the Lord was his shepherd. He didn't give up. He kept serving God. He kept going to the church. And so one day, the idea entered his mind. If nobody wants my product, my tube, why don't I make my own toothpaste? So he decided to produce his own toothpaste. And this is his toothpaste. Happy toothpaste. My daughter is married to the son of the owner. And now I'm endorsing Happy toothpaste. What was a tragedy became a blessing. This product is one of the top three toothpaste in the country. It's a miracle how they can compete with multinational company. What's my point? The Lord is my what? Shepherd. You will lack nothing. He leads me beside quiet, what? He leads me. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Now, what does that mean, he restores my soul? Somebody used to tell me, "Peter, emotional wounds are harder to heal than physical wounds." Is that true? My answer is usually, depends. Depends on who is your physician. Depending on who is your shepherd. But I know, many times we are hurt. Well, let me tell you the story of James Cass. Now, remind me to give you his family name in a short while, okay? His first name is James. At the age of 26, he bought a store, dry goods store. He named it Golden Rule Store. Now, what is the golden rule? Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Meaning, this store is going to be honest. It's going to be fair to customers. Now, you have to understand, in America, almost in the early 20th century, in the 1920s, it's like divisoria. The store owners are unscrupulous. What do I mean? Today, do you recall divisoria in those days? When you go, example, you are an American, and you want to buy something, they will tell you, 500 pesos. Now, if you're an American, you will say, what about 450? Okay, 460. Now, if you're a Filipino or a Chinese, you go to divisoria, and then you ask, how much is it? 500 pesos. What would a Filipino Chinese do? Okay, 50 pesos. And then the fun part begins, okay? You begin haggling. He put up the golden rule store. He placed a price tag that is cheaper, that is more reasonable than anybody else, and you can have a return guarantee. No wonder his business began to grow. You know why? It's an honest business. But you know, he kept expanding during the financial crisis, the depression. He almost went into bankruptcy. Emotionally, he was affected. He thought of committing suicide. He developed relationship problems, and he was hospitalized. And the doctors could not find out what's wrong with him. But one early morning in the hospital room, he heard music. There was a chapel, and the doctors and the nurses and some patients were worshiping God. And the music has to do with this. How many of you know this song? God will take care of you. Have you sung this song? All right. I want you to hear this song. When he sang this song, something happened to him.
Be not dismayed, whatever may chide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you.
This man was somehow touched by the words of the music, and he began to pray. The next 12 hours, he began to talk to the Lord. He said, Lord, will you take care of me? Lord, I can no longer help myself. I need you. This man stopped depending on himself. He began to put his trust in the Lord. He said, Lord, you take care of me. He was discharged from the hospital. You know why? He got well. You know who is this man? First name is what? James. J. What is his middle name? Cass. J. C. Penny. J. C. Penny finally made sure that he understood. Head knowledge to the heart. The Lord is my shepherd. I do not know what are the problems you have in your life. Some of you are carrying a burden, a heavy burden. Perhaps you feel like giving up. Well, I have good news for you. The Lord is what? My shepherd. He is your shepherd. Let's read the next phrase. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, our shepherd not only provides, he guides. He guides me in the path of righteousness. Notice the word path. In the original language, the word path literally means worn out path. It is very obvious. There's a problem with sheep. You know the problem with sheep, even though the path is very obvious, they like to wander around, okay? Just like us. Okay? We like to go left, we like to go right. And a shepherd's task, he wants to guide us in the path of righteousness. The word righteousness has the idea of how to live properly. You see, there are two ways to live life. One, the biblical way, you follow the shepherd. The other one is called your way. You do it your way. Follow your friends. Follow society. The other one, you follow your shepherd. Now, for his name's sake, what does that mean? He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The idea of namesake means because of who God is, for his own sake, he loves us. You see, God guides us, not because you and I deserve guidance, but because of who he is. It's like I'm a father. I'm committed to help my children. Recently, my son and I were in a club, and I discovered he was about not to be allowed to use the facilities of the club. So I asked my son, what's the problem? He said, well, I'm supposed to pay. There's a delinquent account, you know, a delinquent account. I said, how much? 1,800 pesos. I said, only 1,800 pesos? Why are you not paying? He said, Daddy, 1,800 pesos, this is not my account, but they charge it to my account. I don't want to pay for this. I called them up already. I said, did you send them a letter? He said, no. I said, that's the problem. When you don't send a letter, you just do it verbally, it may not go to the accounting, it may not go to the management. And I said, son, I don't like to see your name delinquent. You know why? What is his family name? Tan Chi. Now, when somebody reads Tan Chi, wait, Pastor Namin, he does not pay his dues. My goodness, I said, your reputation, my reputation, I discovered something about the Christian life. You know how you behave affects God's reputation? Have you ever realized how you behave will impact God's reputation? And that's what he's saying. He guides us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. God's glory is involved. The Bible tells us we have a problem. Let's read this. All of us, like what? Sheep. We have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. That is the definition of sin. Doing it our way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Who is this him? Jesus. An amazing prophecy about the Messiah carrying the burdens of our sin. Isaiah 53 verse 6 talks about the coming Messiah. He is our shepherd. Now, how does he guide us? Can I tell you how he guides us? Let's read this together. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. What does it mean? God guides us through, everybody, his word. Now, you notice every year, what do I ask you to do every year? Now, let me ask you two simple questions. Every year I ask you to read the Bible, am I correct? Question number one, be honest with me now. How many of you sincerely believe that the Bible is the word of God? Raise your hand. You believe the Bible is the word of God. Higher, higher. I'm watching you. Well, I'm amazed. Almost all of you, raise your hands. Second question, how many of you have read the entire Bible last year? Read the entire Bible. What happened to the other hands? Why is there a disconnect? You just told me you believe the Bible is the Word of God. And now you are telling me you don't read the Bible. What's the problem? There's a great disconnect. The head and the heart. Many people have this problem. May I suggest, if you sincerely believe that the Word of God is our guide, I suggest begin reading the Bible. If you read the Bible every day, 20 minutes, don't watch TV for 20 minutes. Reduce your TV time, 20 minutes. Reduce your computer time, 20 minutes. Reduce your Facebook, 20 minutes. Right? Or reduce whatever you are doing, gossiping, talking, the Starbucks, whatever you are doing, just 20 minutes, devote it to the Lord. Read the Bible, okay? In 1 year's time, I guarantee you, you read the entire Bible. I've read the Bible countless times. I enjoy reading the Word of God because it is God's love letter to me, to guide me. There was a businessman who, after coming to CCF, he began reading the Bible, and he began to understand the meaning of, he guides us in the path of righteousness. You see, his business before was fishing. And he said, Peter, I made a lot of money. In one fishing trip alone, I can make ₱500,000 net income. But he said, the problem is this. I go to the province, that's where my fishing fleets are. I have to pay all the government officials, okay, from the top, governor, mayor, DNR. When I came to know the Lord, I decided it's not good. So I gave it up. You know, when you walk the path of righteousness, it's not easy. Sometimes it is costly. So I asked him, I said, what's your business now? So he told me his business. I said, which is better, your business before or your business now? He said, where I am right now, I make even more. And my wife is very happy because I don't go to the province. I have time with my family. And I met his children, I met his sons. And I look at the sons, I praise God for him. The sons are walking with the Lord. The sons are active in our J-Zone. I realized something. When you learn to walk in the path of righteousness, it's amazing. But you may not always realize it's the best path. But that's what God wants you to experience. I remember a young lady years ago, she wanted to marry. Her D group leader told her, don't marry this boyfriend of yours. Why? Well, the boyfriend is not a believer. So what? The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. But I realized something. If your emotions are involved, it's hard to think clearly. Understand, ladies? I sympathize with you, okay? Singles, will you wave at me, singles, okay? Single, wave at me. Hey, singles, come on. You are my friend, okay? Wave at me. Don't be mad at me. No, singles, listen to me. The Bible says, no good thing will God withhold from you. Yes or no? Therefore, if marriage is good for you, will God make sure you meet the proper guy? Yes or no? Yes or no? Now, how does he guide you? Very simple. You follow biblical precepts. In the case of this lady, even the pastor told her, don't marry. In the case of this lady, even the parents told her, I don't think you're ready to marry this person. In fact, my advice is don't marry. Wait. I said you wait. Allow time to make this guy grow spiritually. But you know, I've discovered something. When you don't follow the ways of the Lord, usually you don't realize that you are going the wrong path. But God loves us. Now, this is the hard part. Let us read this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, there is a dramatic change in the grammar in verse 4. The pronoun from he became second person, you. It became very personal. What do I mean? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you art with me. No longer he is with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. From verse 4 onward, the pronoun is changed to you. You know why? It's called practicing the presence of God. It is not very personal. Now, you won't appreciate verse 4 until you know the job of a shepherd. You see, in Israel, in the Middle East, during summer, the grass turns brown. So the shepherd will have to bring the sheep to a higher place. Now, when you go to a higher place, you go through deep, deep ravines. Literally, these are deep ravines. They are dark. And many times, the sheep will be afraid. But if you know the shepherd, you continue. So, let's read this again. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, notice, I fear no, the word evil simply means I fear no harm. I fear no harm. Why? Your rod, notice, why you are with me. The presence of God, you are with me. And if God is with us, the shepherd is with us, what will he do? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. By the way, you want to know what happened to that girl? She doesn't mind me giving her story because she learned a very hard lesson. The marriage broke up. I sympathize the pain. And this is not just one case. I have many cases like this. You see, I suggest you follow the shepherd. Now, what's the purpose of the rod? The purpose of the rod, it's a defensive weapon and an offensive weapon. The rod is around 18 inches to 24 inches. It's deadly. That rod can kill a wolf. It can kill a bear. The staff is around 6 feet long. It has a hook, like a crook. Now, what is that for? When a sheep likes to go astray, what will it do? It will yank it back, okay? From the neck, you know, have you been yanked back by the rod? Okay, is that painful? You know, there was this tourist. He was watching a shepherd carrying a big sheep, you know. He said, why are you carrying the sheep? And he said, the leg is broken. Oh, look at the splint. It's broken. What happened? Was it an accident? Was he beaten? The shepherd said, no. I broke his leg. You broke his leg? He said, yeah. You see, the shepherd said, and you can read this in many literature, when a sheep constantly go astray, in Tagalog, matigas po ang ulo, always going astray, what will the shepherd do? He breaks the leg, and then he put a splint, and he carries the sheep. Pretty soon, Well, he keeps feeding the sheep, tender loving care. When the leg gets well, the sheep will no longer go astray. It will stay near the shepherd all the time. You know why? The sheep understand that the shepherd cares for him. Some of you, perhaps, have been disciplined by the Lord. Yes or no? I don't know. Now, which is more cruel? Listen to me. You can say it's cruel. Let me ask you, what is more cruel? To allow the sheep to go astray and to be eaten by a wolf, or to break the leg of the sheep? Which one is more cruel? By doing nothing. God is saying, I love you so much. When you go astray, God says, I'm going to do something. In fact, the Bible tells us clearly, it's an amazing verse. Let's read this. Everybody, those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. If you're under the discipline of the Lord, I pray that you won't be discouraged, because the Lord is our shepherd. He loves you. Now, how does God discipline us? What are some of the pains that we experience? Relationship pains, yes or no? I call them the reproof of life. Sowing and reaping. Consequences. God allows that to happen. Not because he hates us. Not because he wants to punish us. He loves you. So take comfort. When you think you are going through darkness in your life, you cannot seem to see the future, just follow the shepherd. You know why? As you go up, remember, as the snow is melting on top of the mountains, the water will come down and the grass will be greener on top of the mountain. God wants you to have what? Green pasture. That's the job of a shepherd. Now, I love this picture because it tells us the meaning of I fear no harm because you are with me. My goodness, did you see this picture? That is what I call confidence in the protection of the Lord. My goodness. Let's read the next verse, okay? What is the next verse in your Bible? Thou dost prepare a table. Notice the pronoun. You prepare a table before me. By the way, the word me, my, appears 17 times in Psalm 23. Amazing. Very personal relationship with God. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What does that mean? You know, I have discovered when it comes to sheep, their security is not in the absence of a wolf. When there's a wolf out there, the sheep will be eating, the sheep will look at the wolf, then the sheep will look at the shepherd. If the shepherd is nearby, the sheep will keep eating. For Christians, your security is never the absence of danger. Your security is in the presence of the Lord, the presence of the shepherd. That's the idea. Thou dost prepare, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In the presence of problems, you can have rest. You can have peace. Why? The Lord is with you. You practice the presence of the shepherd. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. What does that mean? Most of us don't understand what in the meaning of this, you anointed my head with oil. Now, again, you have to understand shepherd. During summer, there are many flies. The flies will lay eggs. Sometimes it lays eggs on the ear, on the nose, on the main brain. And then when the eggs will hatch, you know, the worms will crawl. It can crawl through the mucous membrane to the ears, and that's nasty. So what will the shepherd do? Put oil. The purpose of the oil is to prevent the flies, the insects, from bothering the sheep. And then when the sheep will eat grass, the smell of the oil will prevent the vipers, the snake, from attacking the sheep. In short, a shepherd loves the sheep. He takes care of it. In the Bible, the word oil is also used for what? Sanctification. Example, the word sanctification simply means set apart. When David was proclaimed king, what did they do? They anoint him with oil. When the priests, when the Levites will become priests, when they will serve, they anoint them with oil. You are set apart for greatness. You are set apart for a special purpose for God. That's what the psalmist is saying. The Lord is my shepherd. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Here is a picture. When you look back at your life, it is an overflowing life. I stand before you today after walking with the Lord for many, many years. I've known the Lord as my Savior, as my shepherd for over 40 years. These 40 years, as I look back in my life, I can see how God has been guiding my life. It does not mean I have not made mistakes, but as I look back, I can honestly say my cup overflows. It's a life that I don't mind repeating. It's a life I don't mind sharing with my children and telling them, you follow this path. Let's follow the shepherd. That's the idea of my cup overflows. And then he tells us as he closes, everybody read this, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. Notice the word surely. The word surely in the Hebrew can also mean only. Only goodness and loving kindness will follow me. And the word will follow me literally in the original language means what? Pursue. So the Bible says, surely, only goodness and loving kindness will chase me. Not just follow. The word follow is not strong enough. Literally, it will chase you. Literally, it will soon overtake you. If you walk with the shepherd, you follow him, goodness and loving kindness is going to chase after, is going to follow you. And pretty soon you will discover, wow, it will overtake you. I'm reminded of the illustration given by this pastor about a man after he left the hotel. He was driving in Nevada, and he saw the police car behind him, and the police car began to blink. Now, those of you who drive in the States, what's the rule? If you see a police car blinking, what are you supposed to do? Pull over. Now, this guy was having a nightmare. He said, what have I done? Because if the policeman will give me another ticket, my license will be suspended because I have so many unpaid tickets. And he said, I need to drive. I need to bring my wife to Miami. I promise her a vacation. I cannot allow my license to be taken. He was thinking, so he was not stopping. So the police car had to overtake him and ask him, pull over. So the police car, it was in front of him. He pulled over, opened the window, and the policeman said, are you having a guilty conscience? I came here because the hotel manager asked me to chase you. You left your wallet. Oh, thank you, thank you. And the manager told me, you just won a raffle. Oh, what is this raffle? It's a free, fully paid vacation in Miami. Oh, and the manager told me to tell you, if you don't call today, it will be forfeited. Oh, thank you. You know, many of us, you think of God as a policeman who is chasing you to punish you. No. That's your image of God. My picture of God is different. A loving father, a good shepherd. So let me ask you, why are you running away from God? Why most of the times are we running away from him? I suggest, starting tonight, you pursue. You walk with the Lord. Follow the shepherd. Let me ask you a question. Is the Lord your shepherd? Notice the end of the psalm. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David was not talking about a temple. You don't live in the temple. He's talking about heaven. He is prophesying at the end of his life, he will be with the Lord forever and ever. Question, is the Lord your shepherd? Question number two, how do you know? How do you know the Lord is your shepherd? Can I give you a test? Would you like to know the test of the Bible? Let's read this together. According to Jesus, here is the test. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me. What is the test that the Lord is our shepherd? Listen, number one, you hear His voice. And then you follow. If you don't follow, the Lord is not your shepherd. You only follow the shepherd. I was amazed when I saw a actual happening of a group of shepherds having fun time talking, and the sheep were all around them. They were all mixed up together. And then one shepherd stood up, and he began to make a noise. He began to make a sound, and he began walking. Now, I do not know what was the sound, okay? Maybe something like, meh, I don't know, okay? But when he began making the call, all of his sheep began following him. That is the test. Everybody, verse 27, one more time. My sheep, what? Hear my voice. If you belong to the Lord, you hear His voice. And then what's the final test? And they follow me. Who are you following? Are you following Jesus? You see, there are many people claiming to be Christians, but they don't follow Jesus. According to the shepherd, my sheep listen to me, and they follow me. If you belong to the Lord, your security is amazing. Look at the next verse. I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. This is amazing promise. Eternal life is a certainty. You don't have to doubt about it. You know why? He will give it to you. I give them eternal life. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. Look at the next verse. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Who is our shepherd? The Lord. Notice His description. I'm holding you, and the Father is also holding you. How in the world will you ever get lost? Our security is in our shepherd. Question, is He your shepherd? I cannot judge you, but the Bible tells us, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. If you have not asked Jesus to be your shepherd, to be your Savior, let's pray tonight. Let's bow our heads. Why don't you pray this prayer with me? Be honest with Him. Perhaps you have not been following Him. Perhaps you have gone astray. And He's saying, I want you back. Let's pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, tonight I realize You are my shepherd. I want to be part of Your flock. Tonight I surrender my life to You. I thank You that You died on the cross for my sins. You are the great shepherd. You gave Your life to save me, to pull me out of darkness, to become part of Your flock. Lord Jesus, I believe that You have Your best intention for my life. And tonight, I commit, I want to follow You, I want to trust You. Help me. Give me the strength and the courage to trust You and to follow You. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen.